it's time. It is that time. Time for Stiles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. Stiles and Watkins. Sactown Sports taking up to 2 p.m. Niners talk. Giannis talk. Kings talk. Draymond talk. All the talk, and just to let you know, Nate Littlefield behind the glass, we have our dog segment at 1:30. Our dog segment, which is sponsored by nobody yet, but could be sponsored by you. Give us a call. Give Nate a call. We'll make it happen. As, you know, just to let people know what vibe we're on right now. We had our holiday party yesterday, and it was a great time.
It was.
Chris and I are so much on the same page. We both walk in the studio with jean jackets on. I run warm in the studio, so I've taken mine off. But I will put it back on at some point just so people can see on the YouTube, the Sack Chat, can see that we're just on the same wavelength right now, which clearly means we will probably be arguing for majority of the show. Yep. Chris Watkins, how are you, good sir?
Good. I was telling you yesterday, after the Christmas party and all those festivities were over, got home, watched tons of basketball yesterday, feel recharged and felt nice, you know. Felt good to just kind of not watch Kings for a bit, and it felt like a nice little check out and stepping back and looking at the league from a wider landscape. And boy, it was quite the night to watch, because I watched a good handful of those Pacers Bucks minutes, and it got chippy there from the start. You could tell that Milwaukee was trying to prove a point, and it was a really great game. Really great night of games, really.
Right, and we're going to talk about the state of the NBA, obviously Draymond Green, everything that's been going on. Cam Newton called Brock Purdy a game manager, among other QBs, so we will get your takes on that as well. Yeah, the Bucks-Pacers, I'm pretty early into the game. Mm-hmm. Giannis gave, because I don't know if Halliburton did anything prior to that, but Giannis gave him that
little chicken wing.
That chicken wing.
Yeah.
And Halliburton does what NBA players do. He falls on the ground. But I didn't even know what that drama was about. I don't know why Giannis, is he trying to say, hey, y'all think you coming up in the East?
I think it had to do with the in-season tournament loss, honestly.
That's a great point.
I think it was Halliburton looking at his watch.
That's a great point.
I think Giannis was like, oh, y'all think it's your time? You guys think this is sweet?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to show you what happens if I were to go Bron mode, this is what it looks like.
So, yeah, and go Bron mode.
He sure did.
He did with 64 points, woo, franchise record, and obviously his own career record. So, you know, we talk a lot about the face of the NBA. We'll get into this more when we talk about the state of the NBA and encompass all of these things. But is Giannis trying to become that guy, right, on social media?
Right.
He's
funny.
He's coming to America.
Really funny.
Shout out Eddie Murphy. And I've tried Oreos for the first time.
Yeah.
He's this funny guy. If he develops that other side, is Giannis, and we've used him a lot for the face of the NBA.
Yeah.
I don't know how the sprinting to the locker room. I don't know if that was it's giving Isaiah Stewart.
Same sort of charge energy.
I don't know how the league will look at that, but obviously the whole thing was supercharged. And Adam Silver, you know who's busy right? You know who's very busy right now?
Man's earning his paycheck right now.
Right now, he's just thinking, man, I'm just trying to chill. It's almost the holidays, and he is not able to chill. But is the obvious answer for this, and for former NBA players talking about it as well, there's no next face of the NBA.
Right.
Austin Rivers has talked about that a lot.
Yeah, I saw that.
But is it obviously Giannis? Is that the easy answer?
I think so, because Jokic has the skill, but the personality, like, he's a little reserved. I mean, last year during the finals, like, I think we saw a bit of his personality, but that doesn't really lend itself to, you know, he's not going to be in commercials or anything like that. Jokic is a super low-key guy. Luka's the other option, but I think his approval rating's pretty low from him complaining. And, you know, being in Dallas, it just really, he
all
hasn't really taken
you
off.
You just said three foreign
players,
by the way.
And that's a whole separate conversation
as well. Don't tell Draymond.
Well,
He's coming after you.
I was thinking that yesterday, too, when Giannis charged the locker room. I was like, there's Warrior fans out there who are like, could you imagine what people would be saying if Draymond charged the locker room like that?
No, he would be exiled.
He would actually be, like, it would be indefinite, like, permanent indefinite.
Yeah, you might have to leave the country.
Yeah, it would have been bad.
Silver would somehow kick him out of the country.
Yeah, it would have been like, nah, bro, you actually, forget the Pistons. We're going to send you to the Vancouver Grizzlies, bro. Like,
you gotta go.
Whenever they come back, that's when you can come back. I think Giannis probably has the best shot of doing it. He's still super young. Like, he's still under 30. Already has a championship. Already has two MVPs, if I'm not mistaken, as a defensive player of the year. He's definitely, if I had to make, if I had to put money on a horse, I would probably say Giannis would be my selection for being the next face of the NBA, just because he's got it all. He except for the shooting. I mean, he's got the personality. He's got the physical freak nature. He's also got a great nickname, which definitely plays a factor into it as well. I think Giannis would honestly, I think he would be a great face too. I think a lot of people are a little bit nervous about, like you said, like a non-American being the face, or even multiple non-Americans being the face of the NBA.
Help me, would that be, just trying to think off the top of my head, that'd be the first time,
it
right?
Would, I mean,
if you look at the history of the NBA, really kind of started with Mike more so, and people can make arguments for prior to Mike.
Right,
but
I mean,
we're talking about universal
Larry and Magic,
here.
But I mean,
Magic.
Hakeem Olajuwon was probably the closest, but even that's like, he was not Michael Jordan. He was still playing in Michael Jordan's time. And, you know, maybe if Mike never came back for those three extra rings, who knows, maybe that would have been the opportunity. But no, I mean, maybe if you could say that summer after the Mavericks won the championship, maybe that was a little brief period in which Dirk, I would not say was the face of the league, but was maybe one of the faces of the league. But yeah, it'll be really interesting. I mean, yeah, it's become, like you said, Austin Rivers made that comment the other day about not thinking that there would be a face of the NBA post-LeBron. I think there just won't be an American face, because if you had to pick one, it'd probably be Jason Tatum.
If they win the whole thing,
yeah,
then it could be Tatum.
And, like, I mean, I wouldn't count Embiid. I know he just signed for, or whatever you want to call it. He just agreed or committed to play for Team USA in the Olympics. But I would consider him a foreign-born player, like a foreign player. So I wouldn't consider that like what you would traditionally consider an American basketball player. So, it'd probably be Jason Tatum. But that feels like really far-fetched, because he's just so far behind those other international guys.
Yeah, and he'd have to win.
He'd have to,
because he's already been to a finals, and I don't think it moved the needle at all.
No.
And he went up
if
against
anything,
Steph.
Anything, it raised expectations.
Right. And you went up against Steph, who's the other face of the league, so you would think that it would put him more in that landscape.
Right.
And he's in commercials, but I would say that, again, using the parents.
Got the Ruffles,
Right. Or my mom or whoever, it would be, that face looks familiar, but I couldn't tell you who it is. And there's
Deuce's dad. That's what,
that's
what
Deuce's
I know,
dad. And there's Kevin Durant, right? They're all kind of part of that older wave that is on the way out. And, you know, if the Suns take care of business, could it be Devin
could
Booker?
Could it be?
If he has a moment in the finals and he makes a shot instead of Kevin
He's got
Kevin
the personality
Durant.
For it, too, because he really leans into the whole Kobe Mamba mentality thing. Like, you could try and
be
the next
wave
of that.
Who is the Kobe true more, right? Jason Tatum or
right.
Devin
Everybody,
Booker.
Right. Or yeah. Kyrie. Or, I
mean, Kyrie,
that ship
right.
has sailed, I think, on face of the league for Kyrie. But
I feel fairly confident saying
Kyrie's
that.
Kyrie's the face of something else.
He's
definitely
the
poster child for something, but it's not the NBA.
He is the face. He's the face of something. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we are breaking down the Giannis drama and the Draymond Green drama. Not trying to spend all show on it, because the Kings have a game tonight.
They sure do.
All right? We like talking about
against
the Warriors
two-seed
drama.
West.
Right. We like talking about the Warriors drama, but this is the Kings flagship.
I love talking Warriors drama. Though.
You like to watch. You just want to watch the burn. You're like the Joker when it comes to the Warriors. Oof. So we will bask in that. But we got plenty to talk about as it pertains to the Kings and the Thunder. Look, you know, and Frankie reminded me, the Kings beat the Thunder without De'Aaron Fox.
Did they?
That's incredibly impressive. Right, I don't know how they did. They did that. So you got De'Aaron in this game. Who's got to step up? We got Herter. Is he back on the hot seat? Keegan Murray's growth. How do the Kings get back on the right track? Do you consider them on the wrong track? And you know what? We've been giving Mike Brown a little bit of flack here. Let's rank the coaches. Where do you see Mike Brown as you compare him to other coaches in the NBA? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. Talking Kings, talking NBA drama. You know that meme. The NBA has gone 0 days without being filled with drama.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on as you have a battle of the feel-good moments, okay? You have Oscar Tshiebwe, who scored his first official NBA point, because he did score, what, 1 point, a couple points in the in-season tournament final. And you have that versus Giannis, franchise record, career record.
Right.
You think that this isn't even close in terms of what's more important.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, franchise record, career high is 64 points is absolutely 10 times out of 10, 100 times out of 100, way more important than hitting a free throw at the end of a game for a guy who's was undrafted.
You know,
or late second round pick. I can't remember where he ended up going, but
well, we have all the sound too, and he has a great story. The Pacers went out.
He does.
And
he has a fantastic story.
They reposted his story to say, "Hey, this matters." And I do wonder how often this happens, right? And well, in baseball, it's different because you change balls so often because of foul balls. Because I'm thinking the chances of, let's say, Aaron Judge hitting, you know, a career breaking or a record breaking home run, meanwhile, a guy, you know, a journeyman, not even a journeyman, a rookie gets his first hit in the same game. Chances of that being this, well, it couldn't be the same ball because Aaron Judge hit a home run.
Right.
So it would have to be Derek Jeter's 3,000th hit versus somebody getting their first hit. And the chances of that being the same ball are probably pretty low.
Right.
So I think this is
Derek Jeter's 3,000th hit also a home run, though?
It was.
Yeah,
it
funny enough. I know what you're saying. Right. But yeah, so sick, of course.
The chances of that happening in baseball, much lower than basketball.
Or even football.
Like
if Tyreek Hill has 5 touchdowns in a game and somebody catches their first NFL catch, it's like, well, I feel like Tyreek Hill should probably get that.
Kind of an interesting situation. How often does that actually happen?
Right.
So, yeah, we have all the sound when it comes to the Giannis drama. We will get to that in a bit. We have to talk about Draymond Green because I think that you have a very different, would say unique take on this. When I see the word indefinitely, the first thing I think is pretty
long,
scary,
pretty
scary. And Sam Amick, friend of the station, and was on with Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross just before us, said he thinks it's going
to
be what, between
10 to 12 games.
10 to 12 games.
Said. Now, and you can read more about that at SacktownSports.com right now.
There you go. Now, I said yesterday I thought it would be between 7 and 10.
Yeah.
But then last night, as I see indefinitely, I thought it would be longer.
Yeah.
So it took a weird way to get there, but that's what the issue with the situation to me was that out of the line for Draymond, we talk about the, you know, the class clown versus the non-class clowns. The line for Draymond is a little bit different to everybody else.
Right.
But because of that, which it shouldn't be, on the egregious meter for Draymond, what actually happened on the court was not as egregious as other stuff.
Sure.
So they really would have had to dig deep. I think that was the issue. If Draymond was looking at him and hit him.
Or if he was just straight, you know,
just
hitting him.
Yeah,
just
him,
like,
right? It would be different, but
squared
it did look incidental as far as he wasn't looking. Now, why are you swinging up? Sure.
Right.
But I think that's the confusing part of this. But you're not buying it. You think it should have been more, and you think Adam Silver is a little Charmin.
I thought, frankly, it was kind of soft, and I'm kind of going back and forth because I do believe that the route the NBA took is a route that I'm in favor of, in the sense of, just in general, they're trying to actually rehabilitate. Like, they're not just trying to punish for the sake of punishment, because you could argue, what does that really solve? Like, and I think they've seen that, you know, they just suspended Draymond Green for 5 games. Clearly didn't have much impact. So at least they're trying to actually give the appearance of trying to solve the root problem. And I I condone that. I think that that's a very good stance to take with everybody, criminals or Draymond. Draymond's not a criminal, but I'm saying, you know, with the entire nature of all of it, I think you should always aim to rehabilitate for sure. But yeah, I think that, you know, with this guy's history and the fact that, you know, he's just coming off of a suspension as well for, you know, just repeated incident after incident after
incident. Protecting his guy,
right? Sure, whatever you want to say. I just feel like the NBA, I don't understand why they should. I just feel like they should have came out with a definitive number. Like, to me, the indefinite thing just felt like, not a cop-out, but it just felt like a, we can't settle on something, so
but it is
we'll just kind of do it vibe-wise. We'll just say, feels like it's been long enough. We've talked to him. We've talked to Rich Paul. By the way, Rich Paul has his hands all over this, y'all. Don't get it twisted. This is absolutely, I mean, it's even in Woj's release of the findings or of the NBA's conclusion that Rich Paul, the NBA, and Draymond are all going to work together.
I have it right here. This is from Woj. This is a tweet from Woj. Draymond Green, Warriors GM Mike Dunleavy Jr., and Green's agent Rich Paul of Clutch Sports are expected to meet today to start discussing a path of counseling and help for Green to move forward, sources said. The league didn't want to put a specific number on the suspension, but allow Green to take the time he might need to deal with challenges he's facing.
Sure.
My issue is, what is the line to know, okay, now he can come back?
Right. Exactly. What is that? What is the mark of him being
rehabilitated? You're going to ask Nurkic to put his hands on his hips and see how he reacts?
Like, are you going to stress test him? Because that's to me the way of figuring out if this thing's going to happen again, because this is a lot like the Ja situation in if this thing happens again, if Draymond comes back from this indefinite suspension, and then even if it's 30 games down the road, another incident happens that seems to only happen to Draymond, then what happens then? Like, to me, this has to be with the indefinite and the, if this is, like Sam Amick said, 10 to 12 games or in that range, near that range, well, then you better hope that he never does this again, because after that, to me, that's when you have to put your foot down. I think Adam Silver has been very lenient. He's allowed Draymond, you know, he suspended him for stomping on Sabonis. He didn't suspend Draymond. Let's not forget, Draymond Green did not receive an NBA suspension for punching Jordan Poole. The Warriors barely gave him time, really just said, go ahead and sit out training camp and you can play game one. Yeah. He's been very lenient. David Stern would not have been this lenient. And I know this is not David Stern's NBA anymore, far from it. But to me, Adam Silver has now left the door open for I think we all would probably put our money down on when Draymond Green has another incident. Mm-hmm. It has to me, and I know I just said I want to rehabilitate and not punish, but to me, at that point, you've made us look dumb. We've tried to work with you every step along the way. I'm fine with like 50 games to, you know, I think a whole season's out of control. I think that's a way too long of a time. But at what point is it like, depending on what the next incident is, if he hits somebody again, like, you're actively like hurting our players, like our product. It's being broadcast the same way that you could say Ja Morant broadcasted on his Instagram Live. Like, Draymond's broadcasting on TNT these incidents. Like, I don't think that's any better of a look for the NBA than what Ja's doing.
Yeah, and you know, nobody is bigger than the league, and Adam Silver has to show that.
Yeah,
and if this turns out, because they got roasted for the first jaw thing.
Yeah.
I still don't necessarily know. That first time around, what did he go to counseling for?
Nobody knows.
What did he go to counseling for?
He left after like a week, if even that.
So at least we know this is about Draymond's anger and things like that. But you got to be careful here or you will get clowned.
Yeah.
And people are going to not take you seriously.
Get that clown wig ready.
I got the clown wig.
Yeah, we got the clown wig ready
Silver?
Right here.
Okay. You see this on the YouTube, the SAC chat? Adam Silver, don't let this be you.
Yeah.
Okay, it's got to be 10.
You got a nice, perfect bald head to put that on, okay?
Don't let this be you, all right? 916-339-1140, JR. Got about 30 seconds. What you got for us, JR?
Hey, Feliz Navidad. What's fun? So they should definitely suspend him for more than indefinite and take his accomplice with him. I mean, if Curry's going to be right next to him on the court, he needs to serve some games. He's an influencer. I mean, his Subway commercials suck. His friggin' State Farm commercials suck. So Bring him down. In fact,
he's not even in the State Farm commercials anymore, JR. That was like five years ago.
Well, I feel like I turn on the channel and I always see is that guy's lame face. Talk about not being a face of the NBA anymore.
Yeah.
Him and McHomie from Kansas City need to be decommissioned, relegated,
How
sent down
did
to the
we
right
get
league.
Here? Thank you, JR.
Hey, I love you, boys. Bye-bye.
I love you too, JR.
Thanks, JR. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Chris will lead us through all of the whole situation.
Yeah, how we got here.
How we got here with Giannis and that drama. Chris will lead us through everything. If you didn't catch everything from the beginning, Chris will lead us through that. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
.com.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. And the battle of the feel-good stories. What's more important? Chris thinks it's not even close.
It's
your
not.
First NBA points, okay? Your first NBA points, or you have broken a personal record, a career record, and you also
franchise
broke a
record.
Franchise record.
The same franchise that had one Lew Cinder, one Oscar Robertson. Like, there's been some historic Milwaukee Bucks in their time.
Hold on. Okay. Oscar Tshiebwe, this is from the Pacers, what
yep.
we mentioned.
Yep.
Moved to the United States.
Sure.
From the Republic of Congo.
Yes, sir.
As a teenager to pursue his basketball dreams after
yeah.
starring at Kentucky and being
awesome.
Named the unanimous player of the year.
Yes, he was.
He went undrafted in this summer's NBA draft. Must not have had a high ceiling.
He did not.
That's how
it's
they
got
feel.
Credit card hops.
Okay. And tonight he realized his dream of playing in the NBA and scored his first career points.
With an asterisk.
The Pacers are kind of trolling a little bit.
They definitely are.
Right? And, of course, this blew up, right? And, you know, does that move you? Does that change your mind at all?
No.
Now you hear his story.
I knew his story already. I was very aware of Oscar Tshiebwe. He was the Naismith National Player of the Year as
now
a junior at Kentucky.
Now you heard his story.
Absolutely.
Now give him the game ball.
No, absolutely not. Are you kidding? Like, it's fine. And you know, we're going to break it down, and I can, Rick Carlisle later says there was an easy solution to all of this, and it's funny that it even escalated to the point that it got to.
I do think it's funny that it was in Milwaukee. That the Pacers were just, we don't care.
No, this is our, it is a little bit of a home court activity,
right,
is it not?
Right,
to be
right.
like, hey, like, yeah, have one of our game ops
right.
people go grab the ball real
they
quick.
They finessed that.
They kind of did. And like, you know, especially because in that moment in time, probably not everybody's thinking, let's collect the game
yeah.
ball. Kind of a different level of pettiness to literally, I mean, and this is quite literally a thing that people joke about, mm-hmm. taking your ball and going home.
Right.
That's what the Pacers did. They
yeah.
were like, no, you know what? You were mean to us.
Yeah.
It's my ball.
You
can't have it.
You chicken winged Halliburton. Okay. And we have this story and it's more important. Does anybody disagree with Chris? Think that the
it's
first 64. Career points
Come on.
More important than the career high and franchise record. All right, take us through
All right.
what happened.
Okay, so let's start off with going a couple days back when the in-season tournament, mm-hmm. Quarterfinal, semifinal, whatever, and
yeah.
I never know what the difference is between those two. The final four
yes.
of the in-season tournament where the Indiana Pacers took on the Milwaukee Bucks. We all remember it was a fantastic game. Many are calling it the Tyrese Haliburton coming out party. We did many segments about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it ended
Dame
with
time.
Tyrese Haliburton taking a step back three, hitting it, pretty much sealing the game, and then mm-hmm. looking at his wrist, emulating, mocking, some would say, mm-hmm. The Damian Lillard Dame Time celebration where Dame hits his wrist.
Yeah.
Dame in the post game was like, it's cool. I'm going to take it as a sign of respect. In those moments, though, you need to be humble. Okay?
Which I because still don't understand what he was saying.
I don't either. It kind of sounded like he was Liam Neeson in him a little bit, where it's like,
you.
I have a very particular set of skills. I will find you.
Yeah.
And I will ball on you. And it was a little strange. And I think Dame even said, like, hey, man, you never know. Next time we play, like, it could come back around quickly. So you just never know. Be humble in those moments. nothing about nothing. They, sure. I think they're all happy. All's good. Mm-hmm. That's also the second time the Pacers have beaten the Bucks this season, which is definitely a big statement for the Pacers this
Dame
year.
Dame has been bad.
And Dame hasn't been great.
We can discuss that in a different
story for a different day. Now, brings us to yesterday. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, game starts, and it was a little clear that Giannis was trying to set the tone early. In that first quarter, you mentioned he chicken winged Halliburton a little. He definitely put a little something, little extension.
Right.
It was not nothing.
Yes.
He definitely, you know, gave him a little bit of a nudge. Halliburton falls. I think he looks up to him and says, "What the hell was that?"
Yeah, what? Because it was just somebody regular. Scored a basket.
Yeah, I think Tyrese laid it in or something, like super regular, and Giannis took that opportunity to just kind of nudge him, and I think that was seriously him saying, like, this is not, like, you're going to be in mm-hmm. for 48 minutes here of me. Like, yes. I'm going to be a physical presence today, right. And you're going to feel it the entire day. And that's pretty much what happened. Giannis goes crazy. It was pretty muted but it was a normal Giannis going off performance for about three quarters there. Mm-hmm. And then things kind of heated up in the fourth quarter. Aaron Nesmith at the start of it tackled Giannis to the ground, wrapped him around, threw him to the ground. Bobby Portis mode. His eyes start getting huge, mm-hmm. looking like the Squidward meme and everything. And then Giannis just goes to another level. And then at that point, the start of the fourth quarter, the Bucks are up 15, maybe even 20 at that point. So it was the Pacers definitely feeling a way about getting killed after making a statement that they felt like they made. Point is, game goes on. Bucks end up, you know, throttling the Pacers by 25 points. They put in the bench. Bench actually makes it pretty close. They turn it to 10. They check Giannis back in. That's when Giannis has like 15 points in the last 3 minutes of the game. Mm-hmm. Breaks his career high. Breaks a franchise record. And then he sits at 64 points. Giannis he gets a big dunk, 64 points, career high, franchise high, all that. They take Giannis out again with about a minute to go. Oscar Tshiebwe then hits the free throw. Mm. That is the fabled free throw that brings us to the end of this game, where immediately after the final whistle, of course, all the cameras are on Giannis, career high again, storied franchise. And you see Giannis talking, kind of yelling a little bit. And then you just see him take off, like Isaiah Stewart. Yeah. He was off to the locker room.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, this is terrible. Like, what a terrible note to end such a historic night on. And no one really knows what's happening until after the game when we kind of get clarity on everything. And, you know, you see reports from Chris Haynes and I think Woj put something out as well that this was all about the game ball. But we really didn't have good clarity until everybody stepped up to the podium. Do we have Rick Carlisle? Do we have Rick Carlisle? So this is pretty much when we actually got full clarity on what had happened or what seems to have happened. Here's Rick Carlisle.
Happened after the game was unfortunate. There's a misunderstanding about the game ball. It was Oscar Tshiebwe's first NBA point, so we always get the game ball. We were not thinking about Giannis's franchise record.
We should.
So we grabbed the ball, and a couple of minutes later, several of their players ended up in our hallway, and there was a big. I don't know what to call it, a fracas, melee, whatever. Fracas. I don't think any punches were landed, but my general manager got elbowed in the ribs by one of their players. And so he certainly has a bruised rib, and who knows, you know, if it's anything more than that. But unfortunate situation. We don't need the official game ball. There's two game balls there. You know, we could have taken the other one, but it didn't need to escalate to that.
So that now brings us to this. There's now a question of, okay, did Giannis get the game ball back then? Because as Rick Carlisle points out, which I had no idea, there's apparently two game balls, and obviously Giannis is looking for the game ball that they actually played with.
And ball gate. It's turning into ball gate.
Yes, this is turning into ball gate for sure. And so after the game, this is where the drama gets stirred up yet again. We thought we had had it all figured out. As Rick Carlisle said, they got him a ball eventually. And so after the game, reporters, the Milwaukee reporters ask Giannis, are we good? Did you get the ball? Is everything settled? Here's what Giannis had to say.
Can you confirm that you have the game ball from tonight?
I have no idea. I'm not going to lie. I have no idea. I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I don't know. I have a ball, but I don't know if it's a game ball. It doesn't feel like the game ball to me. It feels like a brand new ball. Like I can tell, you know, from I played, 35 minutes a day. You know, I know how the game ball felt.
And that's what you thought they had the game ball. That's why you ran after them in the tunnel.
I knew they had the game ball. I didn't think they had the game ball. I knew they had the ball.
So now there's controversy of Giannis has a ball, but we don't know if that's actually the official game ball that was used. If you look on Twitter, I'm sure it's on YouTube now, you can look up, there's full video breakdowns of people looking at the final whistle of the broadcast and seeing apparently a Bucks assistant coach collected the ball after the game. Like, as the final shot went up, he was already on the floor ready to receive the ball. Okay. So there's clearly something that happened between the Bucks assistant getting the ball and then, I don't know, maybe like a minute later, they cut to another scene that has Tyrese Halliburton with a ball underneath his arm. And later, Giannis runs.
Same ball or a different ball?
Nobody knows. And so that's the question, is which ball? Who has which ball? Was there a switcheroo? There's also audio from the locker room of Pacers saying, don't give him the ball. Don't give him the ball. Don't give him the, like, nah. And it's an absolute mess right now, apparently. And then there's just a side note here. Apparently there's a GM that's got busted ribs.
Yeah.
It was just absolute mayhem. We still don't know if Giannis has the right ball or not. But the greater thing that I took out of all of this, including the Draymond Green thing, the NBA is the best. It's just the absolute best. It does not get better than this. This is like, television writers could not script something as incredible and as trivial and as frankly as stupid as what this is.
Yeah, it's almost an SNL skit.
It really
is. That's what it feels like. Got to get to a break. We have to react to everything we just heard. Got to get to a break. Casey, we see you. We will get to you after this quick break from our sponsors, which you could also be for our dog segment. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., getting you ready for Kings Thunder. At some point, Nate, we got to come back with the Lightning and the Thunder. I mean, we have to. It's just how it works. As we talk the drama last night in the NBA, from Draymond Green's suspension to Ballgate with Giannis and Oscar Tshiebwe, the battle of the feel-good stories, the battle of the records, right, and what is more important, as we get to Casey, who's been hanging on throughout the break. 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. And by the way, all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. What's up, Casey? What you got for us on Sacktown Sports, Styles and Watkins?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, good. What you got?
So I just want to talk about Giannis. First of all, I got to disagree with Chris. I think your first NBA point, especially for a guy who's not going to have many chances to get a game ball, is way more important than this ball for Giannis, who you never even know if that record might get broke tonight by Dame Lillard. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I'm embarrassed for Giannis, to be honest, because if you Google Giannis doesn't care about, you'll see video after video of Giannis saying, I don't care about winning the MVP. I don't care about stats. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the scoring title. And all of a sudden, he breaks a record, and he's running after a ball in the tunnel like someone just stole his kid.
Yeah.
And to me, it was an embarrassing look. Like, you act like you don't care about anything but titles, and now you're running after a ball. To me, it was weak, and I think the other guy should have got the ball.
No, thanks for the call, Casey. Thanks for the call. Was this a bad look for Giannis? I don't think it was a good – it's definitely not a good look.
It's not a good look for sure.
It's not a good look. You can't be sprinting up and down. I mean, to
me – yeah, and I can't criticize Draymond for his antics and then say, like –
right.
Again, because if Draymond does this, like, it's DEFCON 5. Like, everybody's freaking out.
Casey did make some good points. And I do think that it goes to – we talk about the athletes and how they say – all the athletes speak, and talking about is one thing, and being about it is another. I think it was more about maybe Giannis's career record more so than the franchise, which, to Casey's point, could be broken. But this is Giannis's, and maybe Giannis breaks it. But for now, it's right. His. So
well,
I
he also said he wanted to give it to his mom. Like, I mean,
right.
Like he and he also said in his post-game press conference, he didn't even get the game ball after game 6 of the NBA Finals,
yeah.
Where he had 50 points in a closing well,
clearly
out.
Clearly that bothered him.
It did, no. And I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't have an issue with him saying, I don't care about these things. But at the same time, like, you can still acknowledge them along the way. It doesn't necessarily mean that you hold the same value of it as a title. You can say, I don't care about scoring. LeBron says all the time, I don't care about scoring, but he's still the all-time points leader. Like, if anything, it just says, you know, yeah, if that's what it takes to get the win, then yeah, for sure.
But do you think that, okay, well, with that being said, do you think that Giannis did too much? Or do you understand where Giannis
I mean, he could have from? Definitely been a lot more measured in how he went about it, for sure. But at the same time, like, you know, stupid games win stupid prizes.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Pacers were being super petty, and it was a really big night for Giannis. Like, it was a massive, massive performance.
But do we even know how much of this was just maybe Giannis not giving the Pacers of the benefit of the doubt because of the antics throughout the game?
Yeah.
You even brought up
there was
a hard, I guess a hard-ish foul on Giannis, and Thanasis was doing the hold me back.
He looked ridiculous.
He looked ridiculous.
He held himself back.
Thanasis,
it was crazy.
Come on now. You're so finally crazy. Getting some actual minutes, and you're going to fight someone. And it's cringe to me. I think that Giannis did a little bit too much, and I know somebody's probably typing right now in the Sack Chat or on the text line, well, you don't know how it feels to have a career record in an NBA game. Well, no, I don't.
Right.
But I do know that as an up-and-coming face of the league, you cannot be blinded with rage.
Yeah, not like
right?
that.
And do things. I mean, the funniest thing that LeBron has done off the top of my head was the Celtics last
yes.
season.
going to his knees,
which is also ridiculous and a bad look in a different way. But as we're talking about temper tantrums,
yeah.
You can't have somebody is – I don't want to go there.
He
but
also,
I mean,
really didn't give the Pacers time to maybe tell him. Like,
how did he? I think he just assumed.
Yeah.
Right?
How did he connect those dots so quick?
There's no way.
Yeah.
I think he assumed that they were on some clown stuff.
Yeah.
And like, here you go.
Yeah,
people were like, they were on some clown stuff. The Pacers were. So Giannis just took off and said, "They're trying to play me.
Yeah,
they're not going to play me like that." And he takes off. And I just scenes like that. Bad for the league, man,
yeah,
and I don't want to go there, but I feel like I have to, and just, I got to say it, I mean, as a black man, right, I mean, the idea of just a lot of things that we have kind of struggled
sure.
with, and just the rage and the temper, you got Draymond going,
right.
And it's, what is it, 80% black the NBA is, or something like that, and just the scenes of just someone holding this
right.
large black man back. It's just a bad look.
Right.
I'm sorry, it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely is. And, you know, that's a whole separate segment that we can definitely.
I feel like it's just staring me in the face, and I'm thinking, I don't want to go there. But it's just, if somebody turns on SportsCenter, right, and they see Giannis, they're going
right.
to think, well, what the heck happened? I think, to Casey's point, did someone call Giannis the N-word?
Right.
Did someone steal Giannis' child? And then you, like, from the stadium, from the arena, and then somebody says, no, he thinks that he doesn't have his game ball. They're going to say, come
on, that's pretty
wild.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. It's definitely an overreaction.
That clip is insane.
1,000%, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was not – I don't necessarily condone his actions, but I do – again, I think it was incredibly entertaining. I love it from an entertainment standpoint, but definitely when you bring the human side into it
it's
and the very reality
–
it's a really bad look. And he definitely could have dealt with it a whole lot better. That you could have sent somebody into their locker room and done it yourself. He then came out as well and started yelling at Tyrese Halliburton in his face like – Go in there and get the ball.
Is that after he...
So after he runs into the locker room, makes this big scene, like I said, Pacers are like, don't give him the ball, don't give him the ball, whatever, don't give him the ball. Giannis then runs out, back out onto the floor, and Tyrese Halliburton and I believe Lloyd Pierce, who's an assistant for the Pacers, are explaining to Lillard and Middleton about the situation, and they're just saying, we got a ball to give to Oscar Tshiebwe. And as they're explaining that to Lillard and Middleton, Giannis runs out, completely interrupts their conversation, and just screams in Tyrese's face, go get the ball. Go get the ball. Yeah. Go in the locker room. Go get your boys and get the bleep, 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 bleep ball. And dude freaked out. I mean, there's a lot. But I mean, he definitely could have handled himself a million times better. But it's clear that, I mean, also... And this does play a factor into the Draymond thing as well. I think sometimes, and I'm not excusing either of their actions, but it is like a highly competitive atmosphere that they're in. And like, I think sometimes, especially when you're having crazy performances, like a 64-point game, you're clearly juiced up. Like, not in terms of steroids.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you're clearly, the adrenaline's on 20. You know, you're, again, the Pacers have just straight disrespected you in your eyes twice now.
Yeah,
you were trying to make a statement, and I think his emotions were already on 10, and it just kind of spilled over to the post game when, I think he just felt over emotional. And I'm not condoning it, but I think that sometimes we forget that these guys are in a very machismo environment, in a very competitive environment with a ton of other grown men who are also all trying to compete to win that night. And sometimes that is going to lead to emotions getting to unstable levels.
Well, and that's the question, right? Does Giannis react like this if it happens against a different team?
Right.
I think not.
Probably not. No, I would almost guarantee not, actually.
Yeah.
There has to be history there. Because honestly, you know, it's tough to say because Giannis does have a couple incidents of this. He also knocked out Mike Dunleavy Jr. early in his career.
No, but, there are a lot of people that think Giannis, there are compilations and people talking about Giannis being a bit of a dirty player.
A little bit.
And gets away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he had that beef with James Harden.
Yeah.
So Giannis, like I said, he goes on social media and he's trying to Twinkie for the first time and it's the best thing. But Giannis has an interesting side to him.
He definitely has a history.
And the optics of just literally galloping towards the locker room.
Yeah. And no one's stopping him.
Nobody.
There's no holding back Giannis.
You couldn't pay me.
No.
No, I work for Landmark.
No.
How much do I get paid? No, that's on y'all.
Yeah, you can't.
Go get the Nassis. Where was the Nassis?
That's what he's there for, right?
Where was the Nassis? No, other teams wanted him.
Allegedly, according to Woj.
All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Draymond Green and trades. Bleacher Report very quickly has put out an article with realistic trade destinations. And is it crazy if Sacramento is on that list? We'll find out if it is. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.